Who is your daddy?
I am the father.
You fathers will understand.
My father taught me many things.
I got an idea. How about you all sit there quietly while I make dad noises?
All right, welcome to Fathers of the Grind. This is episode 30. It's a benchmark episode. And my name is Tim Nestor, and I'm here with Derek Teague. Episode 30, Derek.
Yeah, I mean, since it's episode 30 and it's real special, I decided to record this one topless.
So, oh, I'm really glad we haven't started doing our video version quite yet then.
Well, I'm doing this for all the women listeners out there.
Sure, this one's for you ladies. So we are actually thinking about doing some video version of this at some point, just to grow the YouTube audience a little bit, to kind of push beyond the audio listeners, the podcast listeners. But thank you for those of you who do continue to listen. If you're like me, you like to have these kind of shows on during your commute, or maybe during kind of downtime at work, or even if you're at home just knocking out some chores or something like that, it's nice to have a podcast on. So thank you guys for listening and for sticking with us. And yeah, we're always open to hearing from you, your feedback, your topic ideas. Maybe you've got some kind of controversial opinion on a game, whatever it might be. We want to hear from you, and then we can then incorporate it into the show. So feel free to reach out to us. All right, that's all out of the way. Let's get into this. Let's talk about games we finished so far this year in 2016. We are getting close to the end of July, so about 7 months in, and we're getting ready to turn the corner into fall season and holiday season of gaming. And so as we look back at the year so far, tell me about some of the games, Derek, that you have completed. Not games that you've played, not even games that you've almost finished, but you've actually gotten to the end and you put a bow on it. This game I'm finished with.
All right, I will do that. And just so you know, and I know you did this because you created a list as well. Mm-hmm. I did include some DLC content that I felt was big.
Okay.
Bigger than most games, and I considered it a game. But my total number right now is, I'm actually at 22 games completed.
Nice.
But I'm at the very end of a couple other games. Like, I'm about ready to beat Bloodborne for the second time this year.
You already beat it once this year? Or you beat it last year? Oh, wow.
I beat it last year, I beat it once this year, and I'm about ready to beat it again this year.
Okay.
And then I'm also, I also finished Gears of War 3 a couple days ago, and I started Gears of War 2. It shouldn't take long. So right now my total's 23 completed.
Okay.
And I'm going to track it throughout the year, just out of curiosity. I just want to know. It's not a competition. I'm not trying to beat anybody. I just want to know how many games I complete on average in a year. Also, I wouldn't mind tracking, I'm not going to do it right now, but tracking how many games I buy compared to how many I complete. I think that would be very interesting.
Well, let's hear some of the ones you're more proud of. So let's say eliminate some of the shorter, just story-based ones. Eliminate some of the ones maybe you've replayed. Give us some of the ones that you're like, I'm really glad I finished this game this year. Give me a couple ones you're proud of.
Okay, I'm happy, and I'll just group them all together, that I went back and played the Resident Evil franchise. I did replay 5 and 6, but Resident Evil and Resident Evil Zero, I completed on my own, whereas back in the day when I played Resident Evil, I played it with a group of people. I completed Red Dead Redemption, which I thought I never would complete, and actually didn't realize how far I was. I knew I had played a good amount of it, but I didn't know I was as far along as I was until it came to the Xbox One.
All right, so give me some of the ones you're proud of. You mentioned, what was the first one you mentioned?
Well, I just grouped all the Resident Evil games. I've played Resident Evil, Resident Evil 0, 5, and 6.
Yeah.
I'm just happy that I finished Resident Evil and 0 by myself, whereas before, back in the day, I played with like my brother and some friends. I also completed Red Dead Redemption. I know you're a big fan of that game.
I am.
I didn't think I was going to complete it, and then it came to Xbox One. I think I actually texted you and I was like, oh, dude, I'm like 75-80% done with this game.
Yep.
I didn't realize it. And then I was able to beat it in pretty much a weekend because
I
only
had
like 12 missions left.
For a lot of games, when you jump back in, if you're, you know, halfway through, or especially as far, you know, 80% through like you were, a lot of times you're at the end of the game and you're kind of using everything you've built up for that game for these final showdowns, and you got to use all your skills, your weapons, mm-hmm. you got to be on top of your game because you've been playing for a long time. You came back to this one, you're at the end of the game, you're pretty rusty, I would imagine, on how that game plays.
I didn't know how it controlled or anything like that.
So how did that go for you? Was it fun? Did you pick up on it quickly?
That bad, because maybe it was because I had just finished Grand Theft Auto 5 maybe a month before that, and I don't feel like Red Dead handled or controlled or did anything really different. The only thing that, and in fact, when I loaded my game, the very first thing I was in was in like a draw, like a quick draw, and I was like, I have no idea what I'm doing.
Right.
And
what did you think about the ending real quick, without spoiling it for anybody? What did you think about kind of there was a quasi-ending and then a real ending? What did you think about the way that, how that went down?
I try to imagine it if I was playing it without it being spoiled, and the original ending, I would have been disappointed. I've been like, the game's over.
Yeah.
And what I'm talking about, and without spoiling, is when you kill the boss. And then there's another part that I'm not going to spoil, but it was spoiled for me big time that happens. And that was less impactful because I knew it was going to happen.
Yeah.
See, I really, really wish I would have played this game and not known it was going to happen, because I know for sure I would have been like, this is awesome.
Yeah, you know? No, to me it was one of the more epic conclusions to a game's story. And then there's kind of like that epilogue too, which is good. But I thought the whole experience was great. You're right, though, about the controls. It doesn't do, in terms of shooting and hiding behind cover, the third-person action, it's very much Grand Theft Auto in a Western, very much
so. It's very simple. They lock on for you. As long as you're in the general idea or general spectrum of the enemy, it will lock onto that enemy and you just shoot. So it's
but it's fun, though, because it's just, you know, you're basically playing cowboy, you know? So it's like being a little kid playing cowboy again, except it's a little more violent. But yeah, it's great. It's really great.
So I really enjoyed that. Really happy I got to beat that one. Like, that was probably, if I had to list one, that's probably the one I'm most proud of. And then Dark Souls 3 twice. Don't need to talk about that. We've talked about that game a lot.
Yeah.
Bloodborne once. Probably going to beat it again. Ori and the Blind Forest. Really happy I beat that.
Yeah, you came back to it after their DLC that they included.
Totally did it on easy mode. No shame, don't care, but loved it. It was still semi-difficult, even in easy mode. And then I finished both the Witcher 3 expansions. Those are really good. In fact, I felt like from playing Dark Souls 3 twice and then going into Blood and Wine that I was a really, really good Witcher player after that experience with Dark Souls. Like, I improved my ability to, because, and you know this from playing Blood and Wine, there are a lot of boss battles.
There's a ton, and some of them are really tough. Yeah.
Yeah, and I basically used my strategies that I got from Dark Souls, and that was.
I love when that kind of thing. I love when that works out.
Be more reactive than more.
That's cool.
Attacking. So I'm proud of that one. Grand Theft Auto 5, really happy I beat that. In fact, I will say this, so it doesn't just feel like I'm running off a list. I'm actually a bigger Rockstar fan because of this year, or this first 6 months, than I've ever been. In fact, I've always kind of had a negative attitude towards Rockstar, and it's a lot of it has to do with, not that I don't think they have good games, I'm not a fan of, like the games that are over the top, like, let's just cuss a lot and be gangster and thug, and I don't like that stuff. Maybe it's because I'm an old white boy. That could be it.
I'm not a big fan.
I think that is part of it. But when I actually went back to play Grand Theft Auto V and completed that, and then completed Red Dead and actually got to experience it for myself, like the full game, the ending, everything, definitely has moved Rockstar up, in my opinion, as a great developer/publisher.
Very cool.
Far Cry 4. I would love to add Far Cry Primal to that list. So
And
do not be surprised if I jump into that. And then
you could probably fly through that main storyline. And then knowing the way you play, I don't think you will be too let off the main path to do all that extra stuff. So I think you could probably get through that in 10 to 15. Something like that.
Yeah, and I think I'm already 6 or 7 hours in. Every time I play it, it's not that it's not fun. It's just, I don't know. I think I'm kind of over open world games.
Yeah.
In fact, you know, and I'm going to go off a little bit, I actually started Homefront, which is an open world game, and it seems cool, but I just don't know if it'll stick. I have a feeling it's going to be like a Mad Max or a Far Cry Primal, where I'm like, maybe down the road I will just lock in when I'm in the mood for open world. But right now,
I can completely relate to that, because I played probably 7, maybe 8 hours of Dying Light, and I just kind of felt, after I was going to fire it up again, I was like, I just don't feel like doing this open world thing. I was in a different mode. I think at that point I was going to play through Life is Strange and then Tales from the Borderlands. I was just in a very, you know, give me a linear experience kind of a mood. So that happens. I totally can understand that. Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, I've enjoyed all these games. If you pay attention to my list, most of them are me going back and playing stuff. I didn't mention Fallout 4. That was another game that came out in 2015. Here I am finishing it in 2016. All the Resident Evil games are old. Red Dead Redemption's old. There's a few games that released and then I actually finished them, and that would be like Uncharted 4, Quantum Break, The Witcher Blood and Wine. But other than that, basically 90% of my list is either 2015 and before that. Of games that had released and then I came back and played. So,
you know, that gives me a thought, because I'm the same way, and I think many of us are the same way. I think people who are in a group as well, we all kind of tend to do that. We finally get to a game we meant to play a year or two or three ago, and we finally play it, and we're like, wow, this was great. I wish I would have played it then. So I've knocked out games like Ori and the Blind Forest. I'm right now getting towards the final few. I can tell it's the final few missions of Rise of the Tomb Raider. I can tell I'm getting towards the end of that game. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking back at 2015, and I'm like, I wonder what my Game of the Year list would look like now if I were to make a 2015 Game of the Year list, or even 2014. You know, thinking of games like Far Cry 4, didn't that come out in 2014? I'm pretty sure it did.
Yeah, it may have been, yeah.
And I'm thinking back on some of these games that came out a few years ago, even games like Uncharted 3 that I finally finished this January. I'm like, huh, I wonder what my Game of the Year list would have looked like.
I know mine would be different. Like, yeah. Bloodborne would have been... Like, we, you know, and we don't have the lists in front of us, but, and maybe you do for you, but
I know I ranked
Rocket League 1, I think it was Rise of the Tomb Raider 2 or something.
I think
something
you had
like
Witcher
that.
3 number 2, though, and then,
yeah, and then
Rise 3.
No, I think I put Rise before The Witcher, because I think I had a conversation with you later, and I was like, man, if I could change it after playing The Witcher expansions, I would totally move that game up higher.
Gotcha. That's right. You did
so
say that. Yeah.
I would probably have Bloodborne, The Witcher 3, and Rocket League as my top three.
Yeah. It's amazing how it kind of shifts over time when you finally get to really experience something. But yeah, no, I can appreciate that. Any other ones from this year that you've completed? Or maybe not even just from this year, but any other games at all that you've completed?
No, just working on the Gears franchise. Last year I'd finished the Ultimate Edition, which is just a high-def reimagining of the original Gears of War, and it's really well done. So I decided with Gears of War 4 coming out, I was in the mood, I told you this, for a linear experience. You definitely get that with Gears of War games.
Right.
So I went and played Gears of War 3 this past week. Probably beat it in like 3 days. And then I'm starting Gears of War 2 by myself. May play it with Jesse, but, you know, our schedules are hit or miss. And then
that's how it
I'll
goes
play Judgment. Yeah, and then I'll play Judgment with Rob Ronaldo.
Oh,
not Ronaldi. No, with Ronaldi and Jesse White and maybe whoever wants to jump in.
That's
so
awesome.
I'm enjoying Gears. I'll get through all the Gears, basically.
Yeah, and especially with Gears 4 coming out this fall, it'd be nice to refresh them all for you.
Definitely
cool.
One of my most hyped games.
Well, I've got a few that I'm excited that I finally got to play from years gone by, like God of War 3, and I mentioned Uncharted 3. It was nice to finally get to those games. Playing through some DLC like Infamous First Light and The Witcher 3 Hearts of Stone. I've enjoyed playing through those. And then there's some games that I had totally skipped over, like Far Cry 4 and The Order 1886, that I finally got to, which was great. I really enjoyed those games. But the highlights for me this year have been, and we talked about it already, Far Cry Primal, which I think is one of the more fun games I played this year. I can't objectively say it's the best game of the year, even without the games that are still coming this fall. But I can say on a personal level, very subjectively, it's one of the most fun games that I've played this year. I just had a blast with it. I just loved the setting, and we've talked about it before, but I thought that was so much fun. I just finished I Am Setsuna, and I'm excited about that. It is the first kind of traditional style RPG that I've played from start to finish in a few years, at least. So I was excited to finish that one. And then Ratchet & Clank was a really fun game to play through with my kids.
Did it take you to beat Ratchet & Clank?
Oh, I don't know. I'm not sure if they have a counter on there. But
is it what you consider a short experience, medium, and long?
I'd put it at medium, especially for, given the lighthearted tone of the entire game. So it felt kind of medium, maybe in the 10 to 15 hour range, just like Primal.
That's not bad.
There's tons of extra stuff you can do in that game. I know some people went back to get the platinum. There's lots and lots of collectibles, as you can imagine, and different challenges you have to complete to get all the trophies. But really fun. Really liked Ratchet & Clank. But looking back at the year of games last year that I missed with Ori and the Blind Forest and Rise of the Tomb Raider, those are the ones that are at the top of my list in terms of, wow, these are some of my favorite experiences that I'm having this year, even though they didn't come out this year. So it's been a really great year of gaming, and I wonder if some of that feeling that I get is because I'm playing some of the best ones from 2015. But it feels like it's been a great year of gaming, even though it might be a little skewed because of the order that I'm playing things in. But
yeah, I've overall been kind of disappointed with most of the games that have released in 2016. I'm not saying they've all been terrible or there's not a lot of them. There's good games that have come out. But as you can see by my list and even your list, we've been more focused on past games, and I've even been just deciding to replay stuff. And so it seems overall, and I'm hoping this fall will be different, kind of a disappointing year for me.
Okay.
With a few highlights, and that would be Dark Souls 3 and Uncharted 4.
Yeah, I probably would have.
Two games that I can think of that I'm like, yes, those were great games.
Yeah. No, I probably would have just walked into this conversation saying, no, 2016 has been one of the best years, but if I really analyze it, as I look at these game titles that I've completed, even the ones that I've played that I'm not finished with yet, a lot of them aren't even from this year. But Uncharted 4 is one that I did play from start to finish this year and love it. It's my favorite of the year so far. But yeah, you're right. There hasn't been. I mean, think about 2015. I think, you know, for the first 7 months of 2015, I think it was a much superior year. You know, everything from, didn't Bloodborne come out at the beginning of the year? And then we had Dying Light, we had Ori and the Blind Forest, you had The Witcher, you had Batman Arkham Knight, which is on my yet-to-be-finished list, and we had Rocket League. All of those dropped in those first 7 months, which is crazy. Yeah. So, anyway, it's been a good year so far. It's kind of fun to look and see what games that we have completed. And, you know, for me at least, I complete it and I move on from it. We're going to talk in a little bit about why, you know, what motivates us to replay games. And I know you definitely have been replaying some games.
Yeah.
But give me maybe one or two coming up this year that you could see yourself finishing before January 1st, 2017. A few that aren't released yet, but you could see yourself as soon as you get it, you're going to complete that game.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so I think this will be easier because I'm going to pick a linear experience right off the bat, and that is I will definitely beat Gears of War 4. There's no doubt about that.
And it comes out in early October, so you'll have time.
Yeah, that will be plenty of time. I think Deus Ex will be a definite for me. I was a big fan of Human Revolution, so I'm trying not to hype it too much. Like, I've literally watched zero on the game.
That's awesome, because they're putting out a ton of content about it, so good for you.
Yeah, and I really haven't watched anything. I saw the initial, I think, trailer. Like, I always, you know, see the initial trailer, and then after that, if I'm sold on it, I'm like, okay, I don't need to watch anything else.
Yeah.
I'm sold on that game, and I think I'll finish that. I think Gears of War 4 is a lock. It's 100% lock.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think what comes out in September. I want to say I'll finish Final Fantasy 15, but
what does the track record tell you?
Yeah, my track record says, nah, not going to happen.
But you might, you never know.
Yeah, but I think those two are a lock. I'm freezing up on what else comes out. I know Mafia 3, but I would love to say yes to that. But again, that's open world. Dishonored's open world. Watch Dogs open world. Skyrim's open world. Like, everything coming out is open world.
Yeah, so I think you'll play maybe a good amount. You'll put some good hours into all those, but maybe the ones you listed at the beginning are the ones you'll actually see the credits on. Yeah.
And I think there will be at least one open world game that I'll get, like, psyched for that will get completed. Because I do complete a lot of games. It's just normally with open world, it takes me a while. I like to take a break and then I come back to it. And sometimes it's hit or miss. Sometimes you can come back and you don't, like we were talking about earlier with Red Dead Redemption, it really wasn't that hard to come back to. It was really simple.
But something like Final Fantasy 15, I could be wrong about this. That one would be a little harder. That'll be a little bit harder to come back to. Exactly. Well, I think that I'll be able to play start to finish The Last Guardian before the end of the year. That's probably going to be a fairly linear experience, I would imagine. If it's anything like Shadows of the Colossus, technically, yes, it was an open world. You can kind of go in a bunch of different directions, but
there wasn't much to the
There world. Wasn't much to do there other than get to the next boss encounter, the next Colossus that you want to tackle. So I don't know if Last Guardian will be that way or not, but the looks of things, it's going to be pretty linear. I think I'll be able to complete Pokemon Sun and Moon, and the main reason I'll be able to do that, at least one of them, is because my sons and I are going to get them, and we're going to play them together and trade along the way. So... And then I'm gonna go out on a limb here. I think I'll be able to play start to finish Mafia 3 because I think that game is going to hook me. That's just my prediction. It might not, but I think it's gonna hook me, and I think I'll get through the main story of that by the time I get to Christmas. Those are my three.
I'll go ahead and predict that too. I'll say my three games will be Deus Ex, Gears of War 4, and I'll go with Mafia 3 because I'm as hyped for that game as you are.
Yeah, and it really does look like it's gonna be a compelling story. Set in New Orleans there, but
and that's what I need for an open world game. I need not to be distracted by too many side things. You can have side stuff, I don't mind, but I need something that says, Derek, keep playing this. You need to keep playing this because this is really good, not only just for gameplay.
So that actually leads me to a quick question from our community before we talk about one of the main headlines this week, and that comes from our good buddy Crank Flark, and he basically asks, as you and I and Alan Heinen and maybe a couple others talked about what games he finished this year in various posts in our group. And a few others chimed in on those as well and what they finished. And then Frank asked what I think is a really great question and actually maybe something to tackle as a full topic in the future. But give me your quick thoughts on this. He basically asked, how do you find time to do this? He goes, I don't have a list of the games I finished, but I know it wouldn't be, I think I finished 18, you finished 22. And he's just saying, basically, how do you find time to do that? You guys are dads, you have jobs, you're married. How do you find time to do this? So especially since both of our wives are not really gamers and they're not playing along with us.
Yeah.
Where do we find the time? And so how would you answer that, that question?
Well, and I think it's obviously, a personal thing. I know our wives are different as far as, I think you said your wife stays up later.
Yeah.
Mine doesn't.
Okay.
So when she and the kids are down, and sometimes I can even start early, I'll give an example today. They're going to go see a movie that I care little about. And then Eli has gone off with his aunt, so I'm going to be home alone tonight, and I'm probably going to just play a lot of Gears of War 2 or Bloodborne.
Nice.
So I find time like that. If they are going to go out, my wife loves to go out, and sure, I'll go with her most of the time, but if it's something that she knows I don't care about, or she just wants to do with the kids and doesn't want a cranky old man there with her, then I'll stay home and game, or she'll go to bed early, and I'll game after that. I usually stay up till about 11:30 every night on work nights, and then last night I was up till 2 in the morning gaming, so I usually try to do it at night. And also I try to pick games that, I know I can complete.
Yeah.
I Am Setsuna, and while I would love to complete it, I was like, look, you're not in the mood for this. And it's probably going to be something that's difficult for you to complete because you suck at JRPGs and you already have one that you started. So I just decided, all right, I'm just going to stop now instead of wasting 4 or 5 hours, and maybe I'll come back to it, and let's just focus on... At this time, I was playing the Resident Evil games. Let's play the Resident Evil games.
Yeah, because that's what you want to play. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to play more focused games.
Right.
Because maybe it's what we talked about now. I know the open world ones are coming, and I'm not against them. I don't want anybody to listen to this and be like, this sounds like Derek just wants linear games. Look... When every game was linear, I wanted them to be open. So I want both. I just sometimes get in the mood where I want something more linear, and sometimes I want something more open.
Yeah. No, I totally agree with that. And actually, And I know that Frank asked it from a position of a gamer. I mean, Frank loves video games too, and he has multiple systems, and he likes to knock out games, but he's also busy. He's got family. He's got work that keeps him very busy throughout each week. And it was a legitimate question, how do you guys do this? Because we're in similar life situations. Now, I've heard this question from others who do not share the same hobby as us, at least maybe not to the same degree that we do. And those are people who maybe also do lots of, they go running, or maybe they're really into something that's outdoorsy. Maybe they're really into woodworking in their garage, whatever it is, whatever their hobby is. They look at gaming and they say, how do you find time to game? My answer to that person is typically, well, you choose to use your free time for hobby A, B, and C. Yeah. I happen to use it for this hobby. And so to me, that's kind of the simple answer. But I think the answer to someone like Frank or others in his position who are similar to us, it's a little more complicated, and that is, it depends on what's going on in your life. There are periods of time when, especially right after a move, for me, for example, you just don't have the time to do a lot of gaming. Or maybe it moves over to something handheld, or maybe super casual style with Game Dev Story or something. But maybe you just don't have time to do real gaming. Maybe you shift over to something else. Maybe you get hooked on a TV show and you're pulled away from, you know, this hobby for a little while. But for the most part, if you find yourself drawn to the console and to the TV when you have empty house or quiet evening, then that's when you knock it out. You just do it when you can. And the one thing that I would say for me is, if I find myself sacrificing time with my wife or with my kids for this, mm-hmm. that's when there's a problem. If I see that it's something that I do when there is legitimate free time, I don't have any work projects that I should be working on right now, I don't have time I could be spending with my family that I'm ignoring, you know, those would be problems. But for the most part, if I've got free time, I'm choosing to do gaming instead of, for example, you know, writing music or, I don't know, learning some new skill. I'm choosing to do this instead. So yeah. That's kind of what it comes down to for me.
A couple of things, like, we've talked about before, and I know you probably watch, well, I know you watch more TV than I do.
Yeah, because my wife and I do stay up late. We're both night owls, and we do knock out entire seasons of TV shows together. Like, right now, we're getting close to the end of season 29, I want to say, of Survivor. I don't usually watch Survivor. This is one of my first seasons of Survivor that I'm watching.
But 29 seasons?
They've had like 33 seasons now, I think.
Do they do two a season?
They do multiple a year, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, okay.
But she's
that hasn't been around that long.
She's a super fan, and I am not as big of a fan, but I got hooked in because actually someone I used to go to college with was actually on this particular season. So we were watching it, and I'm actually kind of interested in it now. I enjoy the game aspect of it and the mind game that it is. And it's something for us to do together. So I definitely get hooked on shows like S.H.I.E.L.D. or Survivor, or back in the day, stuff like Chuck or Lost. We used to watch that kind of stuff together. And I'd much rather do that and spend quality time with her than tell her, hey, I'm going to sit here and play a game that you don't care about. So I do clearly make the choice of her over gaming, but the good news is we do have enough separate time and solo time that I can unwind with my favorite thing, and that is gaming. So that's the answer from my side of things.
Well, and what I was gonna add, and I can't speak for Frank, but I know from conversations I've had with him, he's real strict on his gaming time.
He's more disciplined than us, is the bottom line.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'll admit, I definitely think you're more disciplined than I am. And I've told you that I get in trouble sometimes because I'll just come home and I'll log in because I'll think, I'm one of those that's like, I tell you what to do, I just expect you to do it. Well, I don't know if you guys know this, but kids, they don't operate that way.
No, they don't.
So I'll be like, Eli, take a bath. Emily, go lay down. Ian, go lay down. And then I'll be like, Rocket League, here I come. And
yeah, because you're like, I've given everyone their orders. We should be all set.
And Megan's in the room. She's good. And I'm out in the living room. I'm ready to rock. And then all of a sudden, the wife comes out and gives me the glare. Or she'll just walk by and be like, I hate your video games. And I'm like, what? What did I do? And I'll look at her and she'll be like, well, you've got Eli running around, you've got Ian, and, you know, so I'll admit, I make stupid decisions. And so I'm trying to work on that and be better at it. But from Frank's perspective, and again, I don't live in his house or know him that well, but he seems more disciplined. He also, I know he hasn't been playing as much, but a lot of time in his free time, he would play Destiny. While I play Destiny, I know I did not put as many hours as Frank and some of his friends, so it's also the choice of game. I mean, if all I did
yeah,
was
as
play,
far as games you complete, that's true.
Exactly. If that's all true. I did was play Destiny and Rocket League, then my list would probably be like three games completed.
Yeah,
but
that's a good point.
Purposely break away from those games and go, you know what? I can't play them. They're not going anywhere. I have fun, or maybe they are getting old, but I need to now play something that I can say, hey, this is completed. This is done. Because it does feel good. I like completing things, so that's why I did want to track that list.
Yeah, I just did a quick scan of my completed list this year, and it looks like about 10 of the 18 that I have seen the credits on, I would put them in probably under 10 hours, definitely under, you know, the 12 to 15 range, but most of them are under that 10-hour range. So the list looks long, but a lot of these, you know, things like Life is Strange or Inside or Vanishing of Ethan Carter, these games are short experiences in general. So that's something to keep in mind, too. You're right, the choice of video game definitely makes a difference. It's kind of the same thing as, you know, choosing to watch a movie or watch episode one, season one of a long show. You know, you're committing one way or the other. Like how many shows did you watch this year? Well, I only watched one. Really? Well, yeah, but it was the all eight seasons of 24. So that's different than sitting down and watching through a movie. But anyway.
Agree. And that was what I was trying to say. It all comes down to personal choices and, you know, situations. I have a wife that goes to bed early. You don't. Maybe you have more free time than I do when sports season comes in, that type of stuff. So you'll see fluctuations and stuff like that. And while you were talking about how many short experiences you had, out of the 23 I've completed, I would deem 14 of them in that short to medium range.
Yeah.
And medium range to me is no more than 12 hours.
Yep.
And then that means I only completed 9 games that I put over 12 hours into it. So that's not that bad.
Right. Yeah, not too bad. But anyway, I thought that was an interesting conversation, too, that kind of kicked things into gear in the group as well. So it's nice to kind of hear that other parents have sometimes the same struggles, and in other cases, we just see things differently. Like you just said, our family schedules are different. The way we interact with our spouses and kids might be a little different. The rules we set up for ourselves or for everyone else might be different. Right now, Pokemon is the hot thing in our family. Like, everyone's super into Pokemon Go, and the kids all have the games back out on their DSs and 3DSs. They're all playing Pokemon Black and Pokemon X and Y again, and it's just the thing right now. And so I actually have found myself in recent evenings plenty of time to game. My wife will go out to hit the store, she'll take our daughter with her, and then I'm like, hey boys, why don't you go play some Pokemon? And then there I am with an hour and a half, 2 hours of do what I want time. So that's another part of it too. So hashtag great parenting. All right, let's jump right to this topic, since we were talking about playing and replaying games. I want to get to the major headline about Nintendo to close our conversation out. So we'll skip over that for now, and let's just talk about replaying games. You mentioned that you are on playthrough number 3 of Bloodborne. It's the second one this year. I don't know if you know this, but Bloodborne came out like a year and a half ago. And you're still playing it. So tell me a little bit about, not just for Bloodborne, but really for any game that you go back and replay, what is it about those games that pulls you back in? Let's talk about Bloodborne first.
Okay, I'm going to say gameplay. When I look at the games that I've been like addicted to and I'm like, okay, let me keep going back to this. I've had a couple of memories on my Facebook recently that were Tomb Raider, reboot, and The Last of Us was actually today.
I saw that video you put up, yeah.
Yeah, and I've completed both those games, I believe, 4 to 5 times.
Oh, wow.
I've beat Bioshock Infinite 4 times, I believe, and when the collection comes out, you can guarantee number 5 will be there. And then you've got games like Bloodborne, Dark Souls 3, which I actually have plans to platinum with Moose and Matt. So those games, that what they all have in common, some of them have great stories, but that what they all have in common for me is I love the gameplay.
Yeah, the core gameplay mechanics are sound.
There's never a point in the game where I'm like, ugh, I don't want to play that part.
Yep. Yep.
Like, sometimes I won't play an entire game again because I'm like, ugh, I don't want to play that part. Like, the example is a couple of weeks ago, I was talking about Resident Evil 6, and I said, the big thing they did for me that made me happy is they fixed the one thing I absolutely hated about the game, and that is, even though it has quick time events, they made them better. They made them where they weren't frustrating to the point where you're like, why did I fail? I don't even know what I did wrong. Mm. You know, that's how the original version was, whereas this one was like, hey, we're going to keep them in there because it's part of the game, but let's make them easier. So all those games are fun to play. They never have points in the game where I'm like, oh, gross, this is terrible, I don't want to play it. And they're really just easy to jump back into. Like, even though it might be, for some people, be impressive, like, oh, you beat Bloodborne 2 or 3 times and Dark Souls 3, I guarantee I'll beat it again this year. They're easier to beat after you beat them the first time.
What about, like,
The Last of Us.
What about, like, a guilty pleasure game that maybe doesn't have a super incredible basic gameplay mechanic? That maybe isn't even that amazing to play, but for some reason you felt yourself pulled back to it. Are there any games like that that would be like guilty pleasure replays?
I can't think of anything that would have me play it again that doesn't have that gameplay hook. Like,
yeah,
I can't play Telltale games, even though I love them, again, because I already know how they play out. And I'm like, well, they're not fun to play.
You know, I started a replay.
So why am I playing?
I started the replay of Walking Dead Season 1 from Telltale, probably last fall, maybe. And I don't know what it was. Something about it. Even though I wanted to take a different path, I was going to save different characters. I was going to say different things and, you know, spur of the moment. But it still was very much the exact same experience. And so I didn't get through the first episode. You know, I made it like maybe halfway through. And I was like, yeah.
No, I did the same thing as you. Like, I started because I love the first season of The Walking Dead. And I think this was before Season 2 came out and stuff like that. And I was like, oh, I want to play this game again. And I started it, and I think I got through Episode 1. And once I hit Episode 2, I was like, oh, I remember, I don't like this.
Yeah.
This is a stupid episode. And just so like, I didn't feel like playing, and I didn't do it anymore. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think you really have to have that, for me, that gameplay hook, because a lot of times, unless you completely forget the story, which that can happen, I don't like, for instance, when I play, like, The Last of Us or Tomb Raider, if I can skip the cutscenes, I do, because I've already seen them. I already know how it plays out.
Right.
I'm in it for the fun of just playing it. Also, I'm not going to lie, I like saying, hey, I beat it 5 times, or I beat it 4 times. You know, that's cool. And one thing Tomb Raider does, and Dark Souls does this too, and Bloodborne, obviously, is when you beat the game, they have a new game plus, and you're leveling up your character, or you're leveling up your guns. And I love that about, like, Tomb Raider, that I could keep playing the game and moving the difficulty setting up because my character and all the weapons and everything were getting, like, OP.
Yeah.
Where I could walk in a room and just shoot 3 bullets and 5 guys died. You know, and that was when I realized, okay, I can keep playing this, but now I need to put it on the hardest difficulty because I'm really OP right now.
Yeah, I gotcha. Now, what about a game that you, maybe someone else was posting about it, or someone else mentioned it in a conversation, like, you know what, I love that game, I'm gonna play it again, and you've gone to replay it and you're like, oh, this isn't as great as my memory told me it was, and so then you stopped. Can you think of any games that you started to replay but then it turns out I don't really want to do this, and you walked away from it, besides Walking Dead?
Yeah, well, I can say I started and I got really excited about it, and it usually happens with bigger games, is Kingdom of Amalur.
Because it came out on PC or something, right?
And, yeah, and I started that, and it looked pretty. It looked like basically a remastered version that you would get on the Xbox One or PS4, but I had it on PC. And I got probably 10, 12 hours in, and I really liked it, but I was like, game's too long and I've got other stuff to play, and I started doing that, like, and that will happen sometimes, like, as I'm playing Gears of War or replaying the franchise, I've already beat this franchise, and for some of the games I've beat them multiple times,
right?
So that always comes into my head, like, why aren't you playing I Am Setsuna, why aren't you playing Tokyo Mirage Sessions? Those games are new experiences, and I have to just now, whereas before in the past I've been like, you're right, I totally need to stop playing this. And I would stop. Now I'm going, no, this is what I want to play, so I don't care.
Yeah.
And
that
so
comes with,
that
comes with
things.
Age, too, as we talked about time for playing video games. I think that comes with age, as you start to appreciate, hey, I've got limited time here. I want to do what is going to be fun for me right now. I don't care if it's my 19th time playing it. I don't care if I already know every detail of this game. This is what's fun for me right now, and that's what I'm going to play. And we have to just be okay with that.
It's sometimes starting a new game, and maybe you can go off on and share if this is something you agree with, and if you don't agree with it, you can tell me shut up. But sometimes starting a new experience can be tiresome.
Oh, because totally.
You have to learn new systems. You have to learn.
Yep.
You know, everything's new. Generally, now some games match other games. Like, you know, I can go from playing Bloodborne to Dark Souls, and that's not an issue. They all kind of go hand in hand. But some games, like for instance, you know, an I Am Setsuna, is not going to have the same rules as a Tomb Raider.
Yeah.
So I have to learn new systems. I have to learn new gameplay mechanics. All that stuff. The story, everything's new, which that's good. That's why we play games. That's why we watch movies. But sometimes you just go through those periods where you're like, I'm drained. I don't want to do this.
Absolutely.
I'd rather go back to my comfort food. Let me go back to Gears of War. Let me go back to Resident Evil. Let me go back to The Witcher. It's comfortable. Absolutely. I know it.
That's exactly why I stopped playing Fallout 4. And it's not because it was a replay issue. It was because it was a new game. And as I got into that game, keep in mind, I never played Fallout 3. And so as I got into Fallout 4, I was like, there's a ton of systems to learn here. And the customization here seems crazy in depth. And man, I can see why fans would be excited. I have zero interest in learning all these systems and the way that it controls and the way the battles work. I had no interest in learning the VAT system. None of that interested me. And so I ended up putting the controller down and walking away from that one. And I keep talking about how I might go back to certain games. And that is true because I can't guarantee that I won't all of a sudden get this incredible urge to really dive in and learn this game and experience it. But for my interest level is zero, less than zero. I have zero desire to play it.
I do think if, like, maybe me or other people were like, Fallout 4 has the most epic story, it has the best twist ever, I think you would be like, oh, okay, maybe I should. But it has a decent story.
Right.
It's nothing you haven't experienced before. It does have a pretty cool twist, which I think you already know, so it's already ruined for you.
Right, I do know.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think if other people were talking about a game that you maybe struggled to get into, I know for me there's been games that I've played and I've seen other people just rave and go crazy about it, and I'll be like, huh, maybe I should go play it. And then I do go play it, and I do get hooked. Fallout 4 was one of those. And we talked about it last year where we both started it, and we were like, I'm not feeling this.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing is, and it's one of those things that in our gaming communities, in our gamer communities, a lot of times we will almost shame each other for not enjoying a mechanic. We talk about what makes a good gameplay mechanic or a bad one. You know, there's lots of debates about the Souls games versus something like The Witcher or really any other kind of action RPG. And I really, truly think that these are subjective opinions on what systems are better or worse. I actually don't like the way Fallout 4 felt. Like, I just didn't like it. I didn't like the way that you controlled it. I didn't like the way you did the shooting. I didn't even really dig too much into the VAT system. Maybe that would hook me if I learned it. But the point I'm trying to get across is that it's okay for us not to think something is fun, even if 99.9% of the people that we know think it's the best thing that's ever been made. And it's okay for us to be like, hey, you know what? That's just not fun for me. And maybe I missed it. Maybe I should have someone sitting beside me explaining to me why it's awesome. But I tried it. I gave it X number of hours. And it just, I couldn't enjoy it. I had zero desire to turn it back on other than I didn't want to be shamed that I didn't like it.
Well, I have a good example of that. And we've talked about this franchise a lot this past year. And that is Zelda. Everybody loves Zelda, and out of all the Nintendo franchises, if you would have asked me before this year, I would have been like, Zelda's my favorite. And I know people will mock me and say, how can you say that? You've never beat one of their games. Well, I finished Wind Waker late last year. But
yeah, you did.
I'd always played them, and I'd always enjoyed them, but I'd never had... I think I blindly was a fan of the franchise.
Because like, everyone told you should be.
Exactly. I feel like I was just like, well, when I was younger, I loved A Link to the Past. And I did. I generally played that game a lot. I don't lie about that. I don't know if my brother remembers how much we used to play it. I know he says that he never beat it or something like that. So I don't know if he remembers what I remember. But we used to play it a lot. So I think I was embedded with, you're a fan of this franchise. This is your favorite Nintendo one. And the funny thing is we started talking this past week in the Facebook group about Darksiders, because they announced a new Dark, well, not a new Darksiders game, but they're remaking or remastering the first one. And they had already remastered the second one. And I played 95% of the first one.
Hmm.
And I actually quit at the end because they did a Zelda thing and they said, well, you must go back to everywhere you've traveled already and pick up all these pieces to put these pieces together to either, I don't remember if it was to create a key or a weapon or something like that. And I was like, nope, I hate you. Like, no, I'm not doing that. And so as I've gotten older and started playing the Zelda games, like recently I jumped back into Twilight Princess, I was like, man, I don't think I like Zelda games that much. Mm. I don't hate them. I still see why people like them, but it's the same reason I don't really... I like Darksiders games, but I get frustrated with them, and that is I hate games that make you solve a puzzle to then get into a dungeon that has a bunch of puzzles who then have you fight a boss that is a puzzle
that is
in
a puzzle,
itself.
Right.
And I'm
an
like,
action puzzle,
I'm
basically.
Like, no, yeah. This is... I find this infuriating, and I know some people are going to be shaking their head in there and be like, it's because you're dumb. You just want to go in and throw grenades and shoot guns. And I'm like, no, it's because I find that personally repetitive and frustrating. Sometimes I just want to walk into a dungeon. That's it.
Yeah.
I don't want to have to go get a pair of damn boots so this stupid rock monster doesn't blow me off the cliff.
Well, you've got me on your side, not because I totally disagree with like the personal feelings on Zelda. For me personally, it's the opposite. I love everything about what you're describing. But I can't criticize any of your opinions on it because I feel the same way about stuff like Fallout, the Souls games, those things that everyone keeps telling me are amazing. And when I've experienced them, I didn't see the amazing. I have yet to see the amazing in any of those things. And so that doesn't mean it doesn't exist. It doesn't mean I won't ever enjoy it. It just means that's why I put that game down. And so I know we kind of went off on, you know, games we enjoy or don't enjoy. What kind of comes back to replaying a little bit, though, and that is the games that I replay are the ones that have impacted me in some way. It could be a gameplay hook, like you mentioned, but more often than not, the ones I replayed the most are the ones with the best stories. And so that's been old school JRPGs from the SNES and PS1 days. I have not replayed a ton of games since then. The only ones I've replayed are those classics. You know, we've talked about them plenty of times before. Suikoden 2 and Chrono Trigger and some of these other RPGs. I've replayed a few Mario games, you know, with my wife, with my kids. But for the most part, once I finish a game, I might play a level or two again in the future. Rarely do I go back and play it start to finish again, with those few exceptions that I mentioned. Like Chrono Trigger, for example, had 12 different endings, and so I remember playing it several times to try to get a bunch of those, Final Fantasy VI and a few others. But yeah, for the most part, especially in recent years, I just don't replay stuff very often. Maybe a multiplayer game that I'll keep coming back to the well with Rocket League and maybe Madden when I had my big football kicks for a while, or a few wrestling games here and there. But for the most part, when the game's over, there's other stuff I want to play. I mean, companies are churning these things out every year, and there's stuff that's on my backlog. And yeah, it's very rare that even if I loved a game, it's very rare that I'll go back to it in favor of a new game. So yeah, that's just personal
preference.
Well,
I will say this, and I'll ask you this question too before I give my opinion about it. When you do go back and replay a game, and I know it's a little bit more rare for you, but when you do it, does your experience or your opinion change at all? Has it ever changed? Has it gone maybe worse or better, or it's the same? Remember it being like this? Like, what's been your experience when you do replay maybe a classic or even a game that just came out a few years ago?
Yeah, I would say, and that's a good question, I would say that my opinion typically does not change on it. Typically, if I'm replaying it, it's because my opinion on it was so high already, I wanted to experience it again. And so the games I just listed as an example have such a layered story that experiencing it again, for me, either it's been such a long experience and I'm like, oh, I forgot about fighting, you know, using Victor to take down this vampire in this one part. That was an awesome part. So either the game is so big that experiencing this stuff is like reminders of how great it is, or I just enjoyed it so much the first time that it's just as invigorating the second time. So for me, for the most part, they're already so high on my list that no, I don't think my opinion usually ever goes down.
Well, that's good. I mean, for me, I think And maybe it's because, especially with me this year being going back to a lot of older games and games that I've already played, my opinion has changed. Because not every game I've gone back and played I've been in love with. Some of them I've, and I think maybe I have just a terrible memory, because I was even telling Jesse White the other night, I was like, I remember not loving Gears of War 2. Like, I loved Gears of War. I remember not loving Gears of War 2, and I remember mocking Gears of War 3, because I thought there was several cheesy, dumb parts that I was like, ugh, this is so cheesy, bro shooter dumb. And then I come back to it, and I play Gears of War 3, and I'm like, okay, yeah, still cheesy, but my attitude was completely different. Like, I was like, this game is awesome. Like, I can absolutely say that Gears of War 3 is amazing. And I've already gotten through Act 1 of Gears of War 2, and I'm like, why did I say or think that I didn't like this game? Because this game so far is really good. Like, obviously the mechanics are good, but what I'm talking about is, like, the memory of the story and the characters and stuff like that, or those moments. And for me, and I'm just using Gears as an example, but it obviously happened with Resident Evil, and it's happened with Tomb Raider, and definitely Bioshock Infinite, is I'll go back and I'll play these games and I'll pay attention more. It's almost like
Bioshock Infinite, I think, is a great example of one that has a very deep and almost bizarre story, especially by the end.
Well,
I could see a replay of that being really great. But,
well, and that's
at least
why
more than
I
the others.
Played. I actually played Bioshock Infinite, no lie, back to back to back. And it was because not only was I hooked on, I thought the game was fun, which other people didn't, but I was hooked on wanting to understand it. Maybe you're really smart and you understood absolutely everything that happened in the game, but for me, it was like a process. Like, I got it to a certain extent the first time, but the second and third time I started to piece things together to where I actually feel like I fully understood the game. So yeah, even though I wouldn't say on that particular game my opinion changed, because it was already extremely high, but my understanding of the game was a lot better.
I gotcha. All right, well, we're gonna have to pause here. It's my wife's birthday weekend, and she brought home cupcakes, so it's about to get a little crazy.
Okay.
So if we have time, we're gonna come back and talk about the big news from this past week, but for right now, we're gonna go ahead and sign off, and yeah, everyone, wish my wife a happy birthday wherever you are right now, just in your head. Say happy birthday, Tim's wife.
Happy birthday, Tim's wife.
That means a lot, you guys. Thank you. All right, we'll talk to you a little later.
All right.
Who is your daddy?
I am the father.
You fathers will understand.
My father taught me many things here.
I got an idea. How about you all sit there quietly while I make dad noises?